Hey, last time we were together, we were in Psalm 27, and we saw that there was the one thing that was the most important thing. That was to dwell in the house of the Lord. Remember that?
Yes.
That the focus, if our focus is on the temporary, we will find ourselves in trouble.
That's right.
David realized that if he put his focus on the Lord, that he would take care of the other situations, that the other situations would find their right place. And boy, that's a lesson in the learning, and it's one to continue to do. Get your eyes on the Lord. Dwell with the Lord. The problem is not the focus. He is to be the focus. And so we find right in Psalm 28:1, to you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. I got to run to the Lord, run to God. Run to Jesus, come to Jesus, look to Jesus, be with Jesus. We need him. We need him desperately every day. And sometimes we can think about, and often what does happen, things may run along kind of half smooth, so we're not as urgent in our prayers. Well, I guess after a while things won't go quite so smooth. And then suddenly we get urgent again. But that's because often our focus is on whether things are smooth or not, and on the temporal things instead of on the Lord himself. But David knew that he needed to be crying out to the Lord. He says, to you, Lord, I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. In other words, I need to be hearing from you, Lord. I need to hear from God. Listen, you need to be hearing from God in your life. You need to be hearing from him. How are you going to hear from God?
By reading his word.
Okay, you're going to hear from his word
Awesome.
by
Spirit.
prayer. Prayer and the word go so well together.
Yes.
To actually, if you're going to commit some time to prayer, commit time to prayer with a Bible in your hand. And maybe you don't know what scripture you're going to read, but I have found that if you spend the time first seeking God, and as you do, God will bring a scripture to mind. He'll bring something to mind. And that scripture will be relevant for what you're doing and where you are, or where someone is, even in a prayer meeting. We need to hear from the Lord. I need to hear from him every single day, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. My life will not be going upwards, it will be spiraling downwards. We need to hear from God. And so let me encourage you to seek the voice of the Lord, because God is speaking. If we are humble and if we are ready to hear from God, it's amazing how he can speak. And it's amazing who he can use and what he can use to speak to us. God speaks through creation at times. He can speak through a sunset, can't he?
Yes.
I can remember Marie asking God as we were driving through northern Texas, Lord, if you're really there, show me. Because she had been reading the Bible for the first time in her life. And I was converted, and she wasn't at that point. First, she was not interested, but then she became a little more and a little more interested. And finally, she made that prayer. I didn't know she prayed that prayer. That was her first real prayer, I think, that she had ever made. And right just shortly after that, this huge thunderhead appeared in the sky, and the sun was behind it, and it was so magnificent. We stopped the car. We were in it's all open prairie there in northern Texas. We stopped the car and we were just awestruck. And I had no idea that there Marie was looking at this and saying, you just spoke to me, God. You're there. No one could have, this was put there by the hand of God. As far as she was concerned, God painted the sky for her. And so the Lord spoke through nature right there to her as she humbly cried out to her for the first time in her experience. She cried out to God. Now, she had been hearing from the Word of God for as we were traveling, because I said, I need to hear more of the Bible. Will you read to me? So, of course, I was being a little devious, I guess, in the sense that I wanted her to read it too. But God was stirring her heart, and she began to see. So right there, she didn't get converted then, but there was a change in her thinking. From there on, she said, I want to know him more. He's real. He's there. He answered me. And it was shortly after, it was only maybe a month or a half after that, that she was converted. So God can speak through nature. God can speak through his word. God can speak through prayer. What are other ways that God can speak?
Visitation.
in a dream. He can do that. I think once I shared with you how one night in a dream, a lady who was going through a terrible sickness, and I didn't know about it, but I saw her face in a dream in anguish, and I woke up, and I knew that God wanted me to pray for her. And it was a week later that I spoke with her, and she burst into tears and said, that night I was crying out to God because I had an extreme health issue, didn't know what was going to happen, and I didn't know what was going to happen with my kids. And she said, I woke up the next morning in perfect peace. And she didn't know why. And yet here I was, over here, in a different place. God showed me in a dream. And he can do that. He speaks through a dream. How else can he speak?
His son, Jesus.
He speaks through his son. Primarily through the word that he would speak to his son, or by the person of the Holy Spirit in prayer.
Right.
How else?
Through another person.
Ah, through others. Through fellow believers. God can speak to you through a fellow believer. Be sensitive to that. Be prepared to listen. Sometimes we can get advice. Sometimes advice we don't like to hear. but take it to heart. And seek the Lord with it. Bring it back to God and say, Lord, are you selling me something in this? Then let me know what it is. Are you going to read Hebrews 1:1? God, who in sundry times in various places.
Yeah. Spoke in past time to our fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us by his son.
Absolutely.
Whom he has appointed heir of all things.
Wonderful.
He has made the words.
The words of Jesus. Read them.
Yes.
Think about them. God can speak through an ass.
That's right.
Didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, he spoke through a donkey. Remember?
Yes.
Balaam riding on his donkey, determined to go and do something, and the donkey turns around and starts speaking to him, especially when he started beating him. He spoke to him. God can speak through anything. Anything, any circumstance.
Get your attention and do anything.
It's amazing. There was a fellow I picked up hitchhiking outside, just inside the park here. He was hitchhiking with his dog. Obi Dupre and I were heading to Bible study in Pleasant Bay. It was in early May, and he was looked like a frozen rat because it was just getting down to frost. And we stopped and picked him up. He was going tenting, and I said, "Did you realize how cold it was down in this country?" No, he said it was hot and sunny in Ontario. And so we got to ask him, why did you come out here? I came here to find myself. That's the words that he used. And I thought to myself, it's not yourself you need to find. You need to find Jesus. So we began talking to him and sharing with him about Jesus. And he was hungry. He was interested because he was broken and he was looking for answers for life. And this was going to be the big trip to find the answers that he was looking for. And did you know that in his heart cry, as little that he knew, he didn't even know didn't know the Bible, didn't know who Jesus was, but the Lord was arranging for us to come along at just the right time, pick him up, offer to, so would you like to come to a Bible study? It's warm there. So sure enough, he came. And this guy is like an amazing guitarist. He makes his living with guitar, right? Classical guitarist. So he spent the evening at Bible study, and then what was he going to do, go camping? I said, listen, I said, if you'd like to, I said, I don't know what your agenda is, you can come back to my place and stay for a few days if you like. He said, I'd love to do that. So him and his dog, I took them back home, and he stayed for a couple of days, and we were down at the fish trap, and we were talking, sharing, and I was sharing the gospel and explaining it to him, and he was sitting in the car, and he was kind of like, this was a lot to take in. And he just was, is it real? Is it true? And, you know, this doesn't always happen, but he looked over at a tree, and it was in the knot hole. It's kind of in the tree. And he said, it was just all of a sudden he could see that, like, the face of Jesus was talking to him. Now, there was no face of Jesus in the tree. It was just God gave a little vision of himself to that man, and immediately his heart was open and he was ready to receive Christ, and he did. And so he stayed for another day, went to a Bible study down in Margaree, and was hungry. Went back to Ontario, didn't have very much of a clue. He had a Bible in his hand. Actually, he met up with some Mormons thinking they were, and they were said, oh yeah, we're Christians. And they kind of took him under their wing and began to indoctrinate him after he got back. Because I had an address and I was heading for Toronto. And when I got to Toronto, I went looking for him. And then I began to share with him, and he got disentangled from the Mormons and has grown in God. Now he is serving at Times Square Church with David Wilkinson's church. He's much involved in their music program, married and living in New York City and ministering in that church. But God can speak. He can speak. He can break down walls that are impenetrable. And we can speak all day. I've done this. And it seems like I'm getting nowhere with someone. But God can break through. And we need to hear from God. And people need to hear from the Lord. So by all means, pray and ask the Lord to speak into people's lives. Haven't you often prayed that prayer? Lord, speak into their lives. Lord, meet them somehow. And there may be somebody that you're concerned about, and they're on the other side of the world. Lord, bring Christians into their path. And bring circumstance. God can speak through circumstances, can't he?
He
can speak through circumstances. He can arrange circumstances where you've got no place else to turn but to the Lord. So don't underestimate the Lord and what he can do. And so for ourselves, for you, you need to hear from God. You really do need to hear from the Lord. And you need to hear from him daily. You can't live on words from last week or sermon from Sunday. Don't let that try to carry you through the week. You know, the people of Israel in the Old Testament, God supplied manna for them every day except the Sabbath. And on the day before the Sabbath, they could double collect and be good for the Sabbath. Only then. And it was every day there was supply. Every day. If they tried to keep yesterday's bread, manna, for the next day, what happened to it?
It
went rotten. It wasn't effective the next day. You know, that's a good picture of God ministering to your life. You need to hear from him every day. I remember sharing with a pastor one time, and he was very frustrated at the time, and he said, you know, and I said, man, you got to come to surrender. I surrendered 15 years ago to the Lord. I looked at him, I said, 15 years ago? Oh yeah, I think I'm getting the point, he said. That 15 years ago surrender is wonderful, but look, I know I have to be daily surrendering. Daily, I have to lay it all down. If I don't, I'll act like those who are going down to the pit. Because I need God. I need an active, living, loving relationship with my Savior. He might speak to you in an audible voice, and he might not. He might speak to you through a vision, but he'll speak somehow if you're willing to listen. If your ears are towards him, then he'll speak somehow. And you'll know it's the Lord. It might be in a very different way. But let's not miss. Because I believe God is speaking more than we're listening. And so David says in Psalm 28:2, hear the voice of my supplications. Well, that's a word. That's a big word. What does that mean? I mean, somebody might have another translation, but what does supplication mean? It's making your request.
My appeals or my...
Yeah. It's specific requests for things, for God to do certain things. Yeah. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary. You know, there's intensity in the Psalms. If you haven't noticed that, this is not bland stuff. You see the first words, to you I will what?
Call.
Cry or call, O Lord my rock. To you I will cry. And here he says, when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands towards your holy sanctuary, that's a picture of my whole life. I'm intense in this matter. I'm not half-hearted about it. My whole being is involved. I mean, my whole body's involved in praying to you, Lord. Because that's the intensity that we see in David's relationship with God. Remember, he was a man after God's own heart. I know he committed murder, but that's not everything that David did. And he committed adultery too, by the way. But he was still a man after God's own heart because he was intense and intent on the Lord. And he did acknowledge his sin and he did move on. And God can do, you know, it might amaze you to say, well, why would God say he's a man after his own heart? Because he kept returning to the Lord, even in the midst of his failures. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity. Now, every one of us can be carried away with sin. Does sin lie at the door in all of our lives?
Yes.
Is it very far away?
No.
No. Remember, that's what Cain was told. Sin lies at the door. And I, you know, I've often thought about that expression. It's not far away from any one of us. Because I have a sinful nature. And it is as wicked as it ever was. In my flesh dwells no good thing, Paul writes, as a Christian. However, I have a new nature. And that new nature cannot sin. The sinful nature can't do anything but sin. So if I walk in the flesh, I will produce the works of the flesh. If I walk in the Spirit, I will produce the fruit of the Spirit. So sin can lie at the door. All I have to do is to begin to walk in the flesh. And David says, he says, he cries, protect me from wickedness. Don't let me live wickedly, and don't let me be with the workers of iniquity in this sense, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their heart. In other words, they're double-minded, they're hypocritical, they're outwardly, they're talking peace, but inwardly there is anger and there is evil. So protect me, Lord. That's what David is saying here. Protect me. And then as a side, he says, give them according to their deeds. Lord, do justly, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors, give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Now remember that the physical enemies that David dealt with were people in the Old Testament, but your enemies in the New Testament, are they people?
No.
Remember what we looked at? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the enemies. They're spiritual enemies in the New. So that we are, David here was ruling a theocracy, which is a government of God over Israel. And as he was doing this, he was praying for the protection from these wicked men and asking that there would be judgment on them for the things that they were doing. We, on the other hand, are looking at a spiritual battle. We're not trying to protect a piece of land. We are looking at walking in the Spirit as children of God. And we aren't seeking a physical country. We are looking for a spiritual country. And therefore, we are dealing with a spiritual battle. And there is a real spiritual battle. Doesn't it say,
yes,
be sober, be vigilant, for the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour?
Yes.
Do we not see the influence of the wicked one? And can he influence God's people?
Yes.
Can he?
Me too. Yes.
What did Jesus say to Peter? I believe I said this Sunday morning. I can't remember where I said it. What did he say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan.
Yeah.
You favor the things of men rather than the things of God. So we can be influenced. We cannot be possessed by the devil, but we certainly can be oppressed by the devil. And we don't have to look far to see the results of that even this week. So be vigilant. Be sober. Watch out, as Joe said earlier, for a root of bitterness in our lives. Hebrews tells us it will spring up and it will defile many. Watch out for anything. Confess sin immediately. Deal with these things in our lives because there are consequences to it. And David knew that there were consequences, and he knew how much he needed the presence of God and how he needed to be protected from the wicked ones. If I think I'm going to stand up against the devil on my own, I'm going to be sorely disappointed very quickly. The devil is extremely powerful. But there's someone who is more powerful than him, and that's the Lord himself. The Lord has to fight my battles. He has to be my strength. I need the Lord. May God grant us some intensity in our praying, some reality in our praying, some understanding of how deep the battle is around us. And it's a real battle, friends. And these battles are going to be won and lost in a relationship with God in prayer. Battles for ourselves and battles for others. And, you know, boy, if we don't have an eye opener on that now, we need the Lord. And then 28:6, we see a turnaround. Maybe before I get there, does anybody have any comments? Any thoughts? All right, 28:6 says, "Blessed be the Lord, because he has what?
Heard my cry.
Heard the voice of my supplications. He's heard my cry.
For mercy.
He's heard me. Thank you, Lord. You've heard me. Oh, cry out to Jesus. And cry out till you're heard. It's not that God doesn't hear you the first time, but he is wanting you to get focused. Really, prayer is not about so much about getting God straightened out on the matter. Does he already know what your problems are?
Yes, he does.
Does he already know what your needs are?
Yes, he does.
Does he already know everything about you?
Yes, he does.
And everything about every crisis and situation?
Mm-hmm.
Does he need to be informed about anything?
No.
So what is prayer about? It's about us getting into a relationship with him. It's us growing into God. And if we're not going to be focused on him, I mean, if it's just a flippant, casual, hey, God, good to see you this morning. I'll chat with you later on tonight. And that's it. There's no intensity in that. If something is worthwhile, we invest in it. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's worthwhile. We invest in it. We invest time. We invest energy. We invest our hearts. If it's worthwhile. Is there anything more worthwhile than being with Jesus?
Nope.
We say no.
But
in practical living,
yeah, right.
What happens?
Many times.
I want to encourage you to more, to deeper. Let's go deeper with God. We need to go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a battlefield. We are in an intense battlefield. And that battlefield involves the souls of men and women. And yes, you know, we look at the situation that happened, and it's probably very true, we could have done more. We could have prayed more. We can't turn back any clocks. But let's be on our guard. Let's be ready. Let's be praying. Let's be seeking. Let's be looking to God in every way. Because David got an answer to his cry. And he could say this then, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Okay, my strength, that is to be able to go forward. What's my shield for?
Protection.
It's for protection. It's so that I can know protection, because the Bible tells us that there are fiery darts that are being shot at us. As you're walking through life, God is shooting fiery darts at you. Not God, I'm sorry. The devil is shooting fiery darts at you. Now, of course, the devil has some compassion, so he's not going to shoot for tender spots, right? The devil has some compassion, so he's not going to attack your children, because that would be low, right?
The devil has no compassion.
Thank you. He has none.
None.
If he can't get to you from the outside, from unbelievers, he'll stir up a believer to get your dander up and get you upset at them. If he can't get to you that way, he'll get into your family and attack there and stir them up. Your children.
Mm-hmm.
Any circumstance he can use. There is no compassion, and there's no such thing as a low blow with the devil. It's all low blows. It's always to attack you at your weakest point. If there's one area that you're struggling in, if you have anger issues, you think he's going to be there?
Yes.
Of course he's going to be right there. He will feed whatever he can. And so that's why I need to be sober and be vigilant. That's why I need the Lord to be my strength, and I need the Lord to be my shield. Boy, it is a dangerous thing to walk into the day without walking with the Lord. Now, God is full of grace and mercy, and he protects you a lot of times when you don't even notice it. I think sometimes we're like Magoo. Do you remember that cartoon?
Oh,
Magoo?
Yeah.
Mr. Magoo?
I couldn't see him
walking along there. I think he's kind of muttering all the time, was he?
Right?
And catastrophes happening all around him. And somehow he comes out without a boo on him, and everything else gets banged around and everything else.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're like Magoo. The Lord protects us in spite of ourselves.
Right. Oh, yes.
But we need to be a people who are seeking God for these things and enjoying it and aware of it, because poor Magoo didn't seem to be aware of anything good that was happening to him because he was oblivious, right? But We don't have to be oblivious. David knew. David said, the Lord's heard my voice and my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. We see the turnaround. We see the cry, but we see the answer. It's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah. I've got my shield. The Bible talks about the shield of faith, which we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, how do I hold up the shield of faith? What is that shield of faith? It's in Ephesians chapter 6. How does that work?
Helmet of salvation.
No, I want to know about the shield of faith.
Shield of faith. Prayer.
Jesus himself.
What's that?
Jesus himself.
Yeah, well, how do I hold it up?
Put it on.
How?
Put on the by faith.
Well, yeah, well, what does that mean? I mean, we're talking about, oh, is this it? Is that my shield of faith?
No.
So how do I practically hold up the shield of faith? What is that shield of faith?
Any problem you have, you lay it on.
What does the word faith mean?
Believe.
Tell me more. Depending, right? Trust it. So the shield of faith is actually depending on Jesus in the moment, in the circumstance. It's trusting the Lord. You must do this for me. You must be my protection here, oh God. I'm trusting you with this. I'm surrendering this to you. All the things you said were right. They're true. But they're summed up in this place where I'm living a life of dependence on God. That's how I quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. That's where those fiery darts have no power. Because my strength and my shield is the Lord. My heart trusted him. And I'm helped. There it is. My heart trusted him, depended on him. And he says, I am helped. And what comes out of that? Rejoicing. Don't strive to have the best amount of faith. You've heard me quote this before, and it's in, I think it's in that book, Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret. If you haven't read it yet, go to the website, download it, and read it, because it'll bless you. It will encourage you and it will grow you. I'm giving you homework. Have you read the book?
Yes.
Okay, good. What's that?
What's the name?
Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you haven't read it, it's online. It's free. You download it. Or you can probably find it. Somebody's told me they found it on YouTube where you could listen to it. Whatever way. Or buy the book. Go and buy the book. But read it. Because it will strengthen your faith. And if you're serious about strengthening your faith, take every opportunity you have. But somebody came to him and said, you must be a man of great faith. And his answer was, no, I'm a man of little faith in a great God. So my encouragement is, don't think someday I hope I have great faith so that I have perfect faith, but take the little bit of faith you have and put it in the Lord tonight, now. That's when faith is going to work, is in the moment. It's trusting him now. And so there, out of it comes rejoicing. My heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. Generally, when I find, if people are filled with praise and worship to the Lord, usually it's because God is good.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If you think God is lousy, you probably aren't going to be praising him. Rejoicing in him. But when you discover how good he is, you just can't help. How can I keep from singing his praise? How can I ever say enough? How can I? When I'm full of the blessings of God, when I'm seeing him answer, this is what David is. He's seeing him. Lord's my strength, my shield. I trust him. I'm helped. So my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. But David never just talks about himself alone here. He says the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. David is not content to just get the blessing for himself. He wants the blessing to go to others, to the people of God. And that's that shepherd's heart. That's that heart of a shepherd that he has. And he says, God, I just don't want to be the one blessed here. I don't want to be just the one praising you. I don't want to be just the one that's depending on you. Lord, be their strength. Be their saving refuge. Save your people. Bless your inheritance. Shepherd them and bear them up forever. An intensity of prayer, seeking God for the blessing, not just for himself, but when he realizes God does bless, when he experiences the blessings of God, then his heart is, oh, I want others to have the same thing. I want them to know the Lord. I want them to be blessed too. I want that blessing to flow. May God grant us David's heart here, because that's a good heart to have. That's intensity of walking with God and seeking him. Don't be distracted by the temporary when you have the privilege of walking in the eternal. Seek the Lord. Look for him daily and watch and see the transformations that begin to happen in your life. You start hearing from God. And as you're hearing from God, you're seeing God at work. And as you're seeing God at work, you become a rejoicing Christian and one who is going to be intensely involved in loving and in reaching out to others. Psalm 28:9. Hearing from God is what I would title, I guess, this song. Wonderful. When God answers, there is rejoicing. Anyone else got a comment? Or I just want to challenge you and challenge myself. Seek the Lord. Go home and seek the Lord tonight. Spend a little extra time. God, I'll give you an extra 5 minutes. Maybe 10. Right? Okay? Seek the Lord. I can't imagine you being disappointed. You know, when you get to heaven and you say, oh, Lord, I wish I had spent less time praying.
No.
You think? I wish I had sought you a little bit less, Lord.
No. Be more.
You say, oh, Lord, that I had spent every waking moment in seeking you, communing with you, looking to you, worshiping you, walking with you.